Thank you. and welcome to Verity Baptist Church. Let's go ahead and find our seats this evening. Find a seat and find a hymnal close to you and turn to page number 449. Psalm number 449. We're going to be singing Dwelling in Beulah Land. That's Psalm number 449. And let's go ahead and sing it out. On the first.
Far away the noise of strife upon my ear is falling. Then I know the sins of earth beset on every hand. Doubt and fears and things of earth in vain to me are calling. None of these shall move me from
second.
Far below the storm of doubt upon the world is beating. Sons of men in battle the enemy withstand. Save them I within the castle of God's word retreating. Nothing then can reach me.
Church. Glad to see everyone here this evening. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come to Sunday evening service here at Verity Baptist Church. Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done today. Pray that you bless the service, bless the singing and the preaching to come, Lord. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right, now it's time for favorites, where if you're selected, we will sing a stanza from the song that you pick. All right, go ahead, Noah. Song number 405, On the Second, The Banner of the Cross. Song number 405, On the Second.
The full mirage gathered.
Sarah, go ahead. 121 on the third. Like a river glorious. Song number 121 on the last.
Every joy or trial falling from above. Trace of
was it? 409. Song number 409. The fight is on. Song number 409 on the first.
The fight is on. The trumpet sounds is ringing out. The cry to arms is heard afar and near. The Lord of hosts is marching on to victory. The triumph.
Nothing but the blood. Song number 30 on the last.
This is all my hope.
Have one, Brother Ike. Song number 4. Song number 4. The way of the cross leads home. Sing it out on the first.
I must needs go. I shall ne'er get sight of the gates of light if the way
go, amen. Song number 81, this will be the last song this evening. Let's sing it out on the first.
Of times a day seems long, our trials are too.
To the Sunday evening service here at Ready Baptist Church. We're glad you're with us, and I appreciate your faithfulness to the house of God. Unfortunately, historically, the Mother's Day Sunday night service and Father's Day Sunday night service tend to be lower services, but I appreciate you being here, of course, and praise the Lord for that. If you'll take your bulletins, you'll see the verse there, Ephesians 6:4. The Bible says, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And that's a good verse there. If you open up your bulletin, you'll see our service times: Sunday morning service, 10:30 a.m., Sunday evening service, 6 p.m., and our Wednesday evening Bible study, 7 p.m. And we encourage you to be back with us on Wednesday night for the Wednesday night Bible study. We have been going through the book of 2 Corinthians for several months on Wednesday night, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. We're going to finish that this Wednesday night. So we're going to be in the last chapter of 2 Corinthians. We encourage you to be here, of course, for that. And then we're going to start a brand new book of the Bible after that. So we'll be excited about that. And then tonight, I'm also finishing the Happily Ever After series. So we're finishing two series and starting different things here in the future. If you look at the sowing time, Saturday morning church-wide sowings, our main sowing time at 10 a.m., then we have additional sowing times on Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays at 2 p.m. If you're a soul winner, don't forget to add your salvations on the communication card so we can update the bulletin. Don't forget to turn in your maps. If there's something wrong with the map, let us know so that we can update that. If you finish the map, you can just throw it away and we will count it as done. But if you did not finish it, just clearly mark what was done, what was not done, and put it into the bin in the foyer, and we will recycle it through and make sure it gets done. And then if there's anything that just needs to be updated on the map, or if there's a problem, if you would just make a note and put it in the bin, then we can get that situated. Yesterday, Brother Nate and I and my wife and Miss April were out on a map, and there was an area that showed no houses on the map, just a field. But when we got there, there was all these houses there, you know. So want to make a note of that and put it back into the bin so that we can get that all updated as they're building. They're building lots of houses around here. So if you could help us with that, we'd appreciate that. If you're running late to the soul winning time, don't forget to call us or text us there at the number 916-868-9080. Let us know you plan on being there, but you're running late. That way we can have a partner and a map for you and all of those things. We, of course, are a family-integrated church. Children and infants are always welcome in the service. We don't separate children from their parents for any reason. We do have mother-baby rooms and daddy rooms available for your convenience. If you have a child that's been distracting during the service or could use some privacy, we'd encourage you to use those rooms as needed. If you need to be baptized, please let us know. We'd love to baptize you. And you can let us know on your communication card, or you can meet with one of the staff guys after the service right outside that door after the preaching while we're singing the last song. That would be great. If you look at the announcements and upcoming events, of course, we have the Journey with Jesus series. That's a verse-by-verse study through the Gospel of Luke. We'll continue that next week. Happily Ever After series is a series we've been doing on the Christian home. We're going to finish that tonight. So we will be done with that after tonight. Happy Father's Day, of course, to all of the fathers in attendance. We had a great service this morning. We had 217 in church this morning, and five baptisms, and The kids choir did a good job. Everything was great. So praise the Lord for that. Young Men's Workshop is this Tuesday, June 21st at 10 a.m. And it is open for young men ages 8 to 17 years old. And their dads are welcome to attend. That'll be this Tuesday at 10 a.m. If you've not yet signed up, you can do that on your communication card. There is a baby shower for Miss Rebecca Lunsford this Saturday, June 25th at 3 p.m. And she is having a boy. She's registered at Amazon and Target. It is a potluck, so if you can bring a dish to share, that'd be great. And if you'd like to attend, you can sign up on your communication card. Ushers, dinner, and training. We have this open on Tuesday, June 28th at 7 p.m. So if you've not yet signed up, if you're an usher, we'd like you to be there. We'd like you to sign up. And we've got the Red Hot Preaching Conference coming up, and we want to make sure that we've just got some training in for the conference before it gets here. And if you maybe would like to consider being an usher, then you can also come to this meeting as well. We do have some qualifications. It must be a man that attends all three services and attends a soul winning time every week. But if you meet that, then please let us know on your communication card. Then we've got the church picnic coming up Monday, July 4th at 3 p.m. And the address is there for you in the park. And if you are able to grill or if you can bring a grill, please let us know on your communication card. And we've got sign-up sheets in the foyer for desserts and for side dishes. And we always have a great time at the church picnic on 4th of July. We'll have fireworks at the end of the night like we did last year. And we're looking forward to all of that. So praise the Lord. And then we've got the Red Hot Preaching Conference coming up, of course, July 14th through the 17th. We have people from all over the country and all over the world that come to this conference, and we want you to be excited about it, be thinking about it. You should have one of these cards in your bulletin, the volunteer opportunities, and there are some areas that you could help with the conference. If you would consider volunteering, you can write your name there and let us know the different areas. You can help us clean, of course, for the conference. We have services Thursday night, Friday morning, Friday night. We have Saturday soul winning, and then we have services Sunday morning, Sunday night. It's a big schedule there. And every time that we use the auditorium and these facilities, they need to be cleaned. So there's some opportunities there if you could help us with cleaning on Friday morning at 7:30 a.m. or Friday afternoon at 3 p.m., Saturday morning at 7:30 a.m., Saturday afternoon at 3 p.m., Sunday at 2:15. If that's something you could help us with, then you can check that off. One thing that we could use volunteers for is to sit in the overflow section. And like I said, last year at the opening night of the conference, we had 564 people at that opening evening service. And we can't fit 564 people in this auditorium. So the only way that works is that our church family sits in the overflow. And we hate to ask you to sit in the overflow, but we are the ones that are hosting the conference. It's our church family. We want to be given to hospitality. And what we don't want is for somebody to fly out from New York or to fly out from Texas or to fly out from South Korea, and they get here and they have to sit in the overflow. So we're asking if our church family would volunteer. We're not asking you to sit in the overflow the entire conference, but if you would pick one of these nights, Thursday, July 14th at 6 p.m. or Friday, July 15th at 6 p.m., you pick one of those nights that you could sit in the overflow. We would appreciate that. Some of you say, I don't even like those other preachers, so I'll just sit in the overflow both nights, and that's fine too, if that's how you feel about it. But if you could pick one of those nights, we would appreciate it. We also have the volunteers. We need some ladies to help. On Sunday night, after the Sunday night service, we have the Baskin Robbins ice cream. So my wife could use some help with some ladies to dish out the ice cream. You can sign up for that as well. If you look at the back, of course, these are some of the areas where our normal church family serves: orchestra, safety team, and ushers. But we've got multiple services, so we just want to know who's going to be available when. So if you're an usher, if you're in the safety team, or if you're in the orchestra, if you could let us know when you're planning on being there, and that way we can make sure that we are having everything we need. So please take a moment to fill the card out, look at it, and when we're done with the announcements, when we're done singing, we'll receive the offering. You can drop it in the offering plate. There is no choir practice or orchestra today due to Father's Day. Upcoming cleaning crew, you can check for your name there. Please don't forget to turn your cell phones off or place them on silent during the service so that they're not a distraction to anybody. If you look at the back of the bulletin, birthdays and anniversaries for the month of June, we had Ezekiel Nelotescu's birthday is today, June 19th. And then tomorrow, June 20th, is Miss Ava Radari's birthday and Miss Melody Gonzalez's birthday. I don't know how we ended up with two staff wives having the same birthday, but that's quite a coincidence there. And then Brother Evan Smith has a birthday on June 24th. Praise report, money matters, all those things are there for you to look at. And I do want to say that we did miss you guys for the last 9 days when we were gone. I will say this, that we went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but we went to three different churches because we were traveling even in between the services. And we went to what we would call old IFB churches. And honestly, you know, we picked based off the area where we were going to be, and Brother Oliver helped us with this. We picked the best church we could find in that area, and we looked at the website, and we kind of went with the people that seemed a little more fundamental. When they're saying on the website, we're independent, fundamental, King James only Baptist, you know, we're kind of looking for that. I will tell you, none of those churches were like this church, I was happy with what we saw in some of these churches. It actually was a little bit of a relief that there are good churches out there, and pastors preached good sermons, and they talked about soul winning, and you know, one guy, my kids were kind of laughing because they're like, one guy even preached against the Sodomites, you know, so. Not exactly like we do, but, you know, they did. So praise God for that. So I think it's good sometimes when you, first of all, I always think it's good when you're on vacation to go to church and don't take a vacation from God. But it's good to go to other churches, and it makes you be thankful for your church. And we are thankful for you. We missed you, and we are glad to be back. So I think that's it for all of the announcements. So let's go ahead and take our songbooks tonight, and we're going to sing page number 396. As we prepare to receive the offering tonight, 396. And we're going to sing So Little Time. And this is a song about soul winning. So little time, the harvest will be over. Sing it out on the first. So little time, the harvest will be over. Our reaping done, we reapers taken home. Lord of harvest, and that he'll sing a line. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Today is given us lost souls to wear. And to save some dear ones from the burning. Let's sing it out on the second. How many times I should have strongly pleaded, how often I feel to strictly mourn. The Spirit knew, oh, had I put for Jesus, his fallen lost ones not reborn. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. Souls to wear, all to save some dear ones from the burning.
out on the last. The harvest wine with reapers through is wasting, and many souls will die and never know. The love of Christ, the joy of sins forgiven, sweet and loving. Today we reap or miss our golden harvest. In us lost souls to pray, all them to save, some dear ones from the burning. Today we'll fall to
praise. Amen. Good singing. We'll have the guys come up. Help us with the offering at this time, and let's go ahead and bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for allowing us to gather together tonight. Lord, we pray that you bless the offering. We pray that you bless the gift and the giver, and we ask that you'd meet with us as we open up your word and study the Bible together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy 6, if you need a Bible, just raise your hand and an usher will bring your Bible. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, if you need a Bible, just keep your hand up and an usher will come by. Deuteronomy 6, we'll read the entire chapter as our custom. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, beginning verse number 1. Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and they may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house, and on thy gates, And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he swore to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee that great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and shall swear by his name. He shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are round about you. But the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from all the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord has sworn to thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he swore to our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening, God. I thank you for your word, Lord, and for our church. And for everyone that's here, God, I ask you please give us the tender hearts of the message, Lord. I ask you please be the pastor to strengthen them and fill them with your spirit. We love you. In Jesus' name pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, well, tonight we are concluding this series that we've been in called Happily Ever After. And this has been a little bit of a unique series in the sense of the length of the series. Of course, we've been going through this series called Happily Ever After. We've been learning about the Christian home, and we've been learning about principles from the Word of God for the Christian home. And we kind of divided the series into two sections. One section dealt with marriage, and then another section, a small section, dealt with finances, and then the last final section dealt with children. And this is the 18th sermon in this series. It's taken us about 14 weeks to get through this series. And like I said, that's kind of unique for us. Usually when I preach a sermon series, when I preach through a book of the Bible, we just take as long as it takes to get through it. When I preach a sermon series, I will preach about 6 weeks. This has been 18 weeks, and the reason for that is because this sermon series is going to really be the foundation for all of the future premarital counseling, for all of the future people that get married in this church. So I wanted it to be super thorough. So I've over the last 18 sermons, I've given you everything that I know about marriage and the family and all of that. And I hope it's been a help to you. I know as I've traveled the country and I've talked to people, this is the series that people keep bringing up to me, this Happily Ever After series. And if you remember, we started 18 sermons ago with a sermon called The Institution of Marriage. And then I did a sermon called Are You Ready for Marriage? That was geared towards the singles, and I did a part one and part two. I did a sermon called Leadership and Submission in Marriage. That was part one and part two. I did a sermon called Love and Reverence in Marriage. Then I did a sermon called What the Bible Teaches About Divorce and Remarriage. I did a sermon called Conflict Resolution in Marriage, part one and two. I did a sermon called Boundaries to Protect Your Marriage. I did a sermon called Money and Marriage. I did a sermon called The Single Income Family. And then on Mother's Day, we transitioned to focusing on the kids. I preached a sermon on Mother's Day called What Every Mother Must Do. Then I did a sermon called What the Bible Teaches About Having Children. I did another sermon called What Every Parent Must Do. And then I did a sermon called Being Part of a Family Integrated Church. And then, of course, this morning I preached a sermon called What Every Father Must Do. And tonight we are going to end this series with a very specific sermon, a very important sermon in my opinion, but a very specific sermon, and it is entitled Biblical Reasons to Homeschool. Biblical Reasons to Homeschool. And let me just start off by saying this. I realize that not everybody did homeschooling to when they were raising their children, for those of you that have raised your children. And I also realized that not everybody is able to do homeschooling. And this sermon is not meant to be an indictment on those of you who did not homeschool your children or who are not able to homeschool your children. There are situations where maybe it's not possible to homeschool your children. We've had ladies in our church that were single mothers and they had to go to work and they were not able to homeschool their children. And in those situations, we obviously want to come alongside those ladies and be a blessing and help them in any way that we can. There's a lady in our church right now who would love to homeschool her children. Her husband does not go to church and he will not allow her to. And what she does is she volunteers at the school that her kids are in, and she's the teacher's aide in the classroom where her daughter is, and she literally spends all day with her daughter in school. And so I understand that there are sometimes not the ability to homeschool, and we get that. And I'm not preaching this to attack anybody in that situation. I will say this, that I believe if you are able to, homeschooling is the best option for educating, for an education of your children. And what this sermon really is an explanation of our biblical position at Verity Baptist Church on education and on homeschooling. Like I said, not everybody in our church homeschools, and when they don't or they're not able to, we don't look down on them. They are not second-class citizens. We love them, and we love all of your children in whatever form of education you have them in. But I will say this, our church is primarily a homeschooling church. We have a homeschool group in our church with, I don't know, 70 or 80 kids in it, and I would say the vast majority of families in our church homeschool, and much of that reason is for the reasons I'm going to explain tonight. So I'd like to give you these thoughts, biblical reasons to homeschool. I'd like to give you three reasons why we believe the Bible teaches that you should homeschool your children. If you're able to homeschool your children, if you have that ability to be able to homeschool your kids. Now, you're there in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, and I'd like you to, if you're able to take notes, I'd like you to maybe write on the back of your course of the week. There's a place for you to write down some notes, and I'd like you to maybe write some of these things down. In Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, the Bible says this, "And thou," I want you to notice that this is God speaking to the children of Israel. He says, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day," you say, what words is he referring to? He's referring to the commandments of God, and specifically the words to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. He says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now, I would like you to notice verse number 7. The Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." The Bible says, "And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." If you don't mind writing in your Bible or underlining in your Bible, I'd like you to underline that little phrase found there in verse number 7. "Thou shalt teach them." You say, what is the biblical reasons for homeschooling, the reason that you promote homeschooling at Verity Baptist Church? Number one, the biblical reason for homeschooling is to educate your children. The Bible teaches that parents are the ones given the responsibility of educating their children, of educating their kids. Here we find an example in Deuteronomy 6:7 when the Bible says, "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." Notice he goes on to say, "And shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." The Bible says, "Thou shalt teach them." And I realize that when you preach this, and it's becoming less and less of this as time progresses, but when you talk about education, sometimes these things seem very foreign to people. And because of COVID and all sorts of different things, maybe that's changing a little bit. But sometimes you tell people about homeschooling and they act like that's crazy. And the reason for that is because we've all lived in a country or in a society, in a world culture where
school systems is all we've ever known, this concept of sending your children to school. So to not do that and to keep your children at home and educate them at home seems foreign to most people. But I would just remind you that the school system is a relatively new system in comparison to all of world history. And when God put Adam and Eve in a garden and he gave them children, there was no Garden of Eden elementary school for them to send their children to. There was no schooling system. When God is speaking to the children of Israel, there's no wilderness junior high school for them to send their kids to. And throughout human history, it's been understood that the responsibility of educating children falls on the parents. Parents are the ones given the responsibility of educating their children. And God says, hey, thou shalt teach them. Who's going to teach them? Not a professional educator at a public school system, but he says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And I'd like you to keep your place there in Deuteronomy, if you would. That's our a text that we're going to be looking a lot at tonight. So keep your finger there, but go with me, if you would, to the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22. If you open up your Bible just right in the center, you'll more than likely find the book of Psalms. Right after Psalms, you have the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 22. I'm not sure if maybe one of the ushers, somebody could help me out. If we just put the AC down just a little bit. I realize I keep you guys cold sometimes, and I hope that I don't keep you too cold, but I'd rather you be cold and awake than warm and a little too comfortable. Proverbs 22, look down at verse number 6. When you ask the Bible the question, whose responsibility is it to train and educate children? The Bible is clear that it's your job, Mom. It's your job, Dad. Thou shalt teach them. Proverbs 22, verse 6. You know these verses well. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Here, this is a verse written to parents. It is the parents' job to train up a child. We saw this concept this morning in the idea of fathers instructing their children, but I want you to notice that this is a concept that's found in Scripture both for father and mother. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, if you would. We'll just run some verses real quickly. Proverbs chapter 1, look at verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, my son, notice these words, hear the instruction of thy father. So whose job is it to instruct? A father is supposed to be giving instruction. Hear the instruction of thy father, notice, and forsake not the law of thy mother. So both father and mother are to be instructing, are to be commanding, are to be giving law. Forsake not hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Go to Proverbs chapter 2, look at verse 1. Proverbs 2, 1, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. Notice, we are supposed to give our children words and commandments. Go to Proverbs chapter 3, look at verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Go to Proverbs chapter 4, look at verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Notice Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding. Go to Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. Go to Proverbs 31, look at verse 1. Proverbs 31 and verse 1. And I just want you to notice that as you run these verses, and we're just looking at them quickly, notice the Bible keeps bringing up a father speaking to his son, saying, forget not my law, keep my commandments, attend to my words, hear my sayings, attend unto my wisdom, hear my understanding. He says, keep thy father's commandments, forsake not the law of thy mother. And I just want you to notice, you don't find a verse that says, forsake not the commandments of the teacher. Forsake not the commandments of the educator. I mean, notice Proverbs 31 and verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his third grade teacher taught him. Is that what it says? The prophecy that his mother taught him. See, the Bible is clear that it is parents who are given the responsibility of educating their children. Parents are to train up children. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now keep your place right there in Proverbs. We're going to come back to it, but go back to Deuteronomy chapter 6, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 6. You say, why? What are the biblical reasons for homeschooling? Well, number one, you should homeschool to educate your children. I mean, that should be obvious. The reason that we have our children in any sort of program in order to educate is so that they can be intelligent and have the knowledge that they need to have to live and to be able to be the adults that can provide for themselves and be productive members of society. Parents are the ones that are given the responsibility of educating their children. But let me just say this as well. If your goal is to educate your children, if your goal is to make sure your children are prepared and equipped for life, which that should definitely be a goal when it comes to educating kids, then realize that it is the responsibility of parents. God has given that responsibility to a mother and to a father to educate their children. But also realize this, that the public school system is a failure as an institution of education. It is a complete failure. And you say, well, you know, how can you say that, and how can you say that so authoritatively? Well, it doesn't take much to just look at it and realize that. But let's just say this biblically from the Bible, the foundation of education is a fear of God. A foundation of education is the fear of the Lord, the Bible says. See, in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, when in verse 7 he says, thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. But before we even get there, in verse 5 he says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart. He says, look, love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And then he says, and teach them diligently unto thy children. You say, why does he connect those thoughts? Here's why. Because the foundation